Back when I was about their age, actually, when I was going to church camp up at the conference center, we watched a film, a short film, one year at church camp called Music Box. And we were told that it was a Christian film, but it was kind of unlike any other film I'd ever seen before. It revolved around a man who finds this mysterious magical box, and it transforms his life. At the beginning of the movie, we see him. He's living in this dark and gloomy apartment, and he's working in this dark and gloomy factory, and everything about his life is kind of dark and gloomy. And this music box transforms his life, and the music in it, just when he hears it, you could just see the peace and the serenity and the joy just kind of come over him. Now, that always kind of stuck with me, and it was kind of troubled me in some ways, because I'm not sure I really fully understood it. And years later, I came back and I had a chance to screen this film for a youth group that I was working with myself, and I realized then really what was going on in the movie. And the music box represents the man's relationship with God. And when he finds this, he treasures it, he delights in it. And it doesn't matter how dark and gloomy his experience is, when he opens that and he experiences the music from that box, it just transcends anything that might be happening in his life at that time. But there's something else that's going on in the movie as well. Because at first, he just gets it out when he's alone. And he listens to it, and it's something that he just delights in and he treasures. But then he realizes that this is something that he must be meant to share with others. And so by the end of the movie, he's got his apartment window open, and he's playing the music out his apartment window, and he's calling his friends on the phone, and he's playing it for them over the phone. And that is what the good news is all about. The good news came into our world like a light into the midst of darkness. It lit up the darkness, and as John says earlier, the darkness tried to overwhelm it, but the darkness could not overwhelm it. Our scripture reading today comes from one of the most read chapters, and certainly has one of the most memorized verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." But what we sometimes forget is that this actually comes from a chapter from a larger conversation that's actually happening in John 3, in which Jesus is talking to a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. And you may remember, Nicodemus was the one that came to Jesus and had questions about what does it mean? How can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus tells him straight up that you need to be born again. And Nicodemus isn't quite so sure about that. And so our scripture reading is really kind of the end of the discussion. So we're not going to read the whole chapter, but this comes from the end of the conversation and really is part of Jesus' response to Nicodemus. So just kind of give you an idea what the context of the scripture is. So Jesus is speaking here. He says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believed in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment," Jesus says, "that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." So as we see in John, especially there at the end of this text, one of the properties of light is that it reveals the truth about that which it sheds light on. That's what light does. Some people even say that light disinfects. I'm not sure if that's a physical truth, but it's certainly true about some of the things that happen in dark, smoky rooms. Light disinfects, too. But it also reveals, and it reveals sin. And I think that's one of the reasons why Nicodemus was so uncomfortable with this idea. Jesus is, he's coming to him saying, you know, I've got some questions. And Nicodemus, who was a, he was a Pharisee, he was a religious leader. His reputation was established. He was considered a holy and a righteous man simply by virtue of the fact that he was a religious leader, that he was a Pharisee. And suddenly Jesus is calling all of that into question, suggesting that maybe he needs to start all over again. So it's easy to understand how this might make somebody like Nicodemus a little bit uncomfortable. Here he was, and it's easy to understand. He was kind of living in the shadows. He came to Jesus under the cover of night because he didn't want other people to see. But that's what light does. It reveals. And that's how Nicodemus' story starts. Many years ago, I preached a sermon on this very text, and it was actually, some of you may remember that I'm a graduate at Culver Stockton College, which is just down the road in Canton, Missouri. And when I was there back in the early 1980s, give you an idea how old I am, I was assigned to go to Wayaconda Christian Church, and I still can't believe that they put up with me, but they did. They nurtured me, and they were good to me. And I preached on this sermon, and I used an illustration in that sermon that still kind of cracks me up even to this day, because it was from my experience, and those are usually the best ones. But I was talking about light and darkness, and I used my dorm room as my illustration. And basically, what I said was that when the light is off in my dorm room, it looks great. But when that light gets switched on, it's another thing entirely. And you can see the pizza boxes and the pop cans and the books and the unmade bed and the dirty clothes. And I think this probably looks like maybe even a little better than what my kids' dorm rooms look like whenever I went to visit. But darkness covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Darkness does. That's why sometimes we're attracted to the darkness, because it covers it up. We don't see it when we dwell in darkness. Other people can't see it either. But what Jesus tells Nicodemus is that it's not about the darkness. It's about love, because love doesn't just cover a multitude of sins. It eliminates them entirely. See, that's the good news. It doesn't just cover them up. It wipes them away. And that's what we want. We don't want it just, we don't want a Band-Aid. We want it to be completely covered up. And the good news here is that when the light comes in, the light didn't come into the world in order to condemn the world or punish the world. Jesus makes that very clear. It's all about love. It's always been about love. If it was just about punishment, if it was just about giving us what we deserve, that would have been something else. And it could have been that. I mean, that is what we deserved, but the good news is about grace. It's about forgiveness. It's about love. God did not come into the world to destroy us or to punish us. He came to invite us into a loving, saving relationship with Him. That's what it's always been about, so that we might live in the light. But it's also more than that. In the same way that the man in Music Box discovered this healing and this light and this joy, when that comes into our lives and we experience the same, then part of our job is to turn around and share that with others. That's just it's part of the deal. We are to share that love and that light with others. That's why Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." I think that one of the reasons Jesus emphasized this so much was because he knew that there was always going to be a temptation among his disciples to not do so, to not share, let's just keep it for ourselves. Let's just keep it to ourselves. We'll just do this in private and it'll be our thing. And that was never what Jesus wanted. We're not to be so polite and so shy about our faith that we never share it with others. It is our job to share it with others. As somebody once said, Jesus did not command the whole world to go to church. He commanded the church to go into the whole world. Really important that we remember that. And yet we do struggle with that sometimes. We are sometimes so circumspect about sharing our faith or talking about what motivates us and what's important to us that we don't pass it on and we don't shine that light and we don't share that light with others. There's a story that was written by Max Licato. It came out in his very first book, God Came Near, which is quite a few years ago too. And it's a great story about how we do struggle, how the church sometimes struggles with taking the light of Christ into the world. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to share with you, I am going to read part of it. The first two candles, so the electricity goes off in this guy's house, and he goes into the storage closet to get some candles to bring it out so that he can light up the house until the electricity comes back on. And he goes in and he finds four candles, and the first one says that, talks to him, says, I'm not prepared to go out there. I've got work I need to do yet. I haven't been to enough workshops in order to do this properly, so I really can't go out into the world. And the second one is kind of similar, says, well, I need to pray and meditate more before I'm going to be ready. I need to work on my inner light before I'm really prepared to go out into the world and to share that light. And so finally we get to the last two, and this is where Locato picks up. And you other two, I asked, are you going to stay in this closet as well? A short, fat, purple candle with plump cheeks spoke up. I'm waiting to get my life together. I'm not stable enough. I lose my temper easily. I guess you could say I'm a hothead. little candle humor. The last candle had a female voice, very pleasant to the ear. I'd like to help, she explained, but lighting the darkness is not my gift. All this was sounding too familiar. Not your gift, what do you mean? Well, I'm a singer. I sing to other candles to encourage them to burn more brightly. Without asking my permission, she began a rendition of this little light of mine. I have to admit, she had a good voice. Hey, I shouted above the music, I don't mind if you sing while you work. In fact, we could use a little music out there. They didn't hear me, they were singing too loudly. I yelled louder. Come on, you guys, there's plenty of time for this later. We've got a crisis on our hands. They wouldn't stop. I put the big candle on the shelf and took a step backward and considered the absurdity of it all. Four perfectly healthy candles singing to each other about light, but refusing to come out of the closet. I had all I could take. One by one, I blew them out. They kept singing to the end. The last one to flicker was the female. I snuffed her out right in the puff part of won't let Satan puff me out. I stuck my hands in my pocket and walked back out into the darkness. I bumped my knee on a freezer and then I bumped into my wife. Where are the candles? She asked. They won't work. Where did you buy those candles anyway? Oh, they're church candles. Remember that church that closed down across town? That's where I got them. And it finishes by him saying, then I understood. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we have invited the light of Christ into our lives. And a part of that is that we are then to pass that light, to share that light with others. That's just part of what happens. And I think some of us figure that out right away. Others of us, it may take a while. It may even take a couple of reminders. One of the things that gives me hope, though, for us and for all those who maybe struggle, especially at first, when the faith is new or when we maybe don't have as much confidence, is actually the story that we read a part of today. And that's the story of Nicodemus. Now, I know you know, we just talked about the beginning of his story, and that's the part of the story that most people remember. He starts off in the shadows, and he starts off in the darkness, and he doesn't want anybody to know that he has any association with this teacher, who could have brought his reputation down. At least that was his thought at the beginning. But I also know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, and you may remember this part of the story too. At the end of the Gospel of John, and this is after Jesus' arrest after his crucifixion, after his death, after all of the other disciples have scattered, have abandoned him, betrayed him, denied even knowing him, after all of that, there are two people who step up to claim his body. Only two men who were unafraid to be associated with Jesus at that point. And you probably remember the name of one of them. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And he was the wealthy man who had a tomb, the tomb in which Jesus was buried. And guess who the other one was? The other one was Nicodemus, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, who at that point in time wasn't afraid to come out into the light. And who knows? We don't know because the gospel doesn't tell us, but perhaps he was even willing from that time on to share the light with others. Let us go and do likewise. Let us pray together. Lord, you came into the darkness of our world, and it's still dark, and it's still a gloomy place at times, but you are the light of life, and you called us to be the light, not to condemn, not to judge, not to punish the world, but to bring light and love and redemption and salvation into the world. Help us to be conduits of that light and that love in all that we do. Bless us and guide us as we seek to be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.